Howdy folks, this is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. This is the first podcast I'm recording while driving. So if you hear my indicator or any road noise or my air conditioning or whatever, that's what's going on. I thought I might start doing them like this from time to time, just to do an extra audio podcast for iTunes and whatever podcatcher you use, because I feel like I can't always be in front of the camera doing podcasts, and this will give me a little bit of what they call net time, no extra time. I'm sitting in a car, driving somewhere, I'm actually going to the gym, and you know, it's about a 20 minute drive each way, so it'll give me a chance to have a chat about a few things, tell everybody what's been going on. So if you haven't seen my most recent video on YouTube, I posted a video about Fender prices in Australia. They've gone up again, and the recommended retail price is now at some astronomical new high, which is absolutely crazy. I just don't understand why Fender can justify those particular prices. If you missed that particular podcast, I'll give you a quick refresh. So a Mexican Strat in the US is something like $499, and that's their MSRP or whatever it's called, recommended price. In Australia, same guitar's retail price now is $1,500. So it's insane. I think it's actually like $900 difference. It's not quite $1,000. So even with the exchange rate, that makes no sense. After posting this video, man, people were coming out of the woodwork. I've never had a single video have more hits in my entire YouTube career until that video in a short amount of time. I think in the first 12 hours, it had something like 13,000 views. In the first 24 hours, it toppled 16,000 views, which is where I'm at right now recording this podcast, about 24 hours after that video went live. Maybe a little bit more, but give or take, it's already well over 16,000 views. It's insane. And this brings me to my point. A lot of people tend to focus on the negative about like comments like this, where they actually support the company, which I found kind of insane. Like, people love the Fender fanboys or whatever, love the company so much that they can't do any wrong. And it must be the fact that I'm misleading people by telling them the facts. I followed this up with a quick live stream video the same morning after it had, you know, many, many thousands of views. This was like 12 hours later. It had already just exceeded pretty much most of my other videos' views in a short amount of time. So I did a live stream and I literally showed people the website. I showed people the price differences. And then, you know, everybody that was an ex-store owner or manager said, oh no, we pay 49% tax and all this kind of stuff on importing guitars. And, you know, I'm a smart guy. I look into stuff before I do anything. And from what I could tell, that's absolute BS. The only import tax we pay, there's like a 5% import thing, and which works out to about $50 for a guitar, maybe less depending on the price, of course. And there's GST on goods over $1,000, which is 10%. So you might be looking at 15% at the very worst. But the thing is that people haven't sort of realized is Australia and the US have a free trade agreement thing. So this essentially stops a lot of these fees from becoming active on a lot of products. And being the fact that I also run an online store, I've been sort of in a position where I've actually imported a lot of stuff over the years, whether it be pedals or a couple of guitars that I got from the US to resell here. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense when people are telling us we're paying 49% on a guitar as a luxury tax. I looked into this whole luxury tax. It's only a result of very, very expensive cars that are imported from overseas. And that is it. You can look this up if you want to find out more. I've actually got all the links about this particular topic in both of those videos. I think the live stream has the one that explains the tax and duties. Anyway, the point is, you can check it out for yourself and find out that none of what I said is not factual. It's absolutely relevant and absolutely insane. I literally must have had 60 points of contact the day that video went up, including emails from all over the world, people who either had it or ran shops, people that knew the inside workings of Fender Australia, people who asked questions about different things and were really just absolutely shocked at the retail prices here. And I also had a few people that understood how Fender Australia worked, and they must have had some dealings with them. So basically, the lady that used to run Fender Australia, I think her name was Margaret from memory or something like that, she basically sold her Fender Australia back to Fender US. So Fender is just dealing straight to the shops now. There's no middleman here, which I guess is good or bad, but you know, that should essentially keep prices down. The problem is with importing goods, if you're wholesalers shouldn't exist anymore. I honestly believe wholesaling products is just a huge, it's a middleman you don't need. Companies should just go to the point of being able to deal with shops directly, and that should actually bring the prices down. What we've seen, even irrespective of this now direct-to-dealer kind of system that Fender have put in place, the prices have gone up. Everybody said maybe it's the exchange rate. Maybe that is true to some extent, but that would only sort of take into account a smaller portion of, you know, this price increase. It's actually gone up enough that it doesn't make any sense. And that was the point of the video, just to show people that we don't pay, there's no 50% tax on importing guitars in Australia. So any of these statements are simply not true. And I find it a little bit disheartening for the human race that people will stand behind companies that do that. And look, I don't dislike Fender guitars. They're my favorite guitars out there. I absolutely love them. But for the prices they're trying to ask, I hope people decide, you know, maybe I'll check the secondhand market before I go buy something from a shop. And I know that's going to hurt some shops, but the prices need to come down. And it's just, you know, a Mexican Strat, even though in Australia we make more money, a Mexican Strat isn't worth $1,500 new. Which brings me to the next point of this topic is, if you have an unreasonable retail price on something and then someone says, hey, I'll sell it to you for $1,200, and you go, yeah, I saved $300, you're still paying double of what they are in the US or more. So, you know, have a think about that. The deal price is still giving us the shaft. A deal price on a Mexican Strat here would be something like $700-$800. I paid over $800 for my last one because I really loved it. You know, in the back of my mind though, I was like, you know what, I shouldn't be spending this sort of money on a Mexican Strat. If I could have done it all over again, if I had have looked at the secondhand market, I could have picked up something much better, a lot cheaper. Much better meaning like either a used US guitar or used Japanese Fender. So yeah, a lot of my money now is going to go back into getting sort of those Japanese instruments or secondhand instruments, which I think is where it's at for me moving forward. Right now on YouTube, there's something happening called the advertiser boycott. I actually have a video scheduled about this, and I don't believe, well, to my knowledge anyway, I don't follow every YouTube channel that anyone else has actually spoken about it and explained what it is and how it affects everybody. So I'll give you a quick rundown of what's going on. Basically, on YouTube right now, a lot of the major advertisers that own everything globally, like Pepsi and Johnson & Johnson, companies like that, Coca-Cola, and you name it, they've all pulled their advertising revenue out of YouTube. This means something like $170 million loss for YouTube or Google, depending on which way you look at it, for the year. Because of this, it's going to actually, you know, hurt them pretty hard. And just to give you a little indication of what's going on, my revenue has just dropped 50%, sometimes 60%, as opposed to where it was prior to this particular advertiser boycott. It didn't affect me the first few days, and I thought, oh, I'll be okay, and then bang, it just absolutely dropped like you wouldn't believe. So I just got to a point with my YouTube channel where I was sustaining my living. I could afford to pay my rent and also just be able to buy basic necessities, you know, all the home brand or supermarket brand stuff, but I was getting by, like it wasn't bad. And I much prefer doing what I do now over having lots of money coming in and being very dissatisfied with my life. So, you know, I was at a point where after the 3 years after leaving my job, it finally got to a point where I thought, I think I've worked this out now, what I need to do and where my strengths are, and it's time to change things up, which you might have noticed on my channel, and it's gone really well. Irrespective of being between 15 and 47% up on last month in every category, whether it be subscribers, watch time, retention time, all that kind of stuff, my channel is actually 50 to 60% lower in earnings, even though my views have gone through the roof. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's definitely a pretty tough time. I don't know how long this is gonna last. YouTube have to basically iron out a whole lot of advertiser issues and change a lot of their back-end advertising stuff to make it more appealing and more tailored towards the advertisers, so their ads don't appear on videos that they might not want them on, which is pretty much the problem. So to kind of combat this, I've started mentioning my Patreon page. I'm not expecting a handout either, but if you want to subscribe to Patreon, you're more than welcome to. There's three different tiers, and any help is appreciated. There's already quite a number of great folks who are already supporting me on there. And yeah, it means a lot. It means I can continue to do what I do, and if you like what I do, you can support me that way. But there's other ways you can support me without paying me, and I'm gonna go through some of those options as well. And I actually kind of prefer this if you choose to do it this way. I have an Amazon link, which I'll post in the description of this particular podcast at intheblues.com. There's a link there, or you can go to guitarpedaldemos.com and click the Amazon link at the top. And you'll be able to basically, if you bookmark that page, anytime you shop on Amazon, I'll get a small kickback. And this will help greatly. It will absolutely help greatly. And you can just use Amazon as you normally would, but through my affiliate link, this will actually help me so much. And it'd be amazing if you guys were able to do that. If you live in the US or somewhere where you can actually have access to Amazon, yeah, it would mean a lot. And that's another way you can do it. If you use ad blocker during this particular YouTube crisis, please turn it off. It's something you can do just to help support myself or other content creators that you really enjoy, but you might not, you know, that might not be getting what they actually would physically deserve if you weren't using it. And unless you're a creator, you don't really see the ramifications of ad blocker. But let me put it this way, if everybody that watches my channel turned it off, which they won't, I reckon I'd have 20 to 30% more, which would at least help in these pretty rough times in terms of revenue. So, I'm gonna give it 2 months on my YouTube channel. And in that time, if I don't see some sort of positive thing come back in terms of YouTube's advertising platform, if it doesn't start to come back, I'm gonna have to seriously question whether or not I can sustain my living with the new all-time low. It's basically worse now than when I left my job. I left my job at a point where I knew it wasn't going to be easy getting by. But over the last 3 years, I've built that up, only to literally have it back to square one almost. So where it's at right now is unsustainable for me. So there's three options. If you use ad blocker, please turn it off. It's just a small inconvenience, but it helps big time. You can also choose to use my Amazon affiliate link, which is amazing. If you do that, I'll appreciate it like nobody's business. And yeah, that'd be fantastic. And also, thirdly, there's a Patreon account if you choose to sign up. That would be also awesome as well. Not asking for a handout. I almost prefer the passive way of helping out, you know, just by using an Amazon link. That can absolutely keep me going. That actually might make the difference up between, you know, where YouTube is right now and actually being able to survive. So yeah, I absolutely appreciate that. And in 2 months, if things haven't picked back up, I may have to go back to doing YouTube part-time for a while and doing something else, which I don't mind doing if that's what it takes, but I much prefer what I'm doing now. And I know a lot of people get good value out of my videos and they enjoy them. So if that's you and you want to help, you can help passively, like I mentioned, either AdBlock or the Amazon link, or you can actually contribute at Patreon. And anything you do is awesome, and there's benefits to signing up at Patreon as well, as benefits for you, benefits for me as well. So thank you so much. The Patreon link is just patreon.com/intheblues. All right, so the next topic is the Google Plus Live Hangouts on YouTube. They're going to be discontinued pretty soon. And so far, I haven't seen anything that's actually replaced them in my YouTube control panel or account, whatever you want to call it. Supposedly, it is being replaced, but I have a feeling it might just be replaced with the other live stream technology that they have, where you'll essentially have to probably use Skype, which is awful compared to Google Plus Hangouts. It just is. If you've used Skype before, it's nowhere near as reliable as Google Plus Hangouts, nor is the functionality as good. So the great thing about the Google Plus Hangout is it will actually change screens for you when someone talks, or you can lock it in on a screen, all that kind of stuff. Skype has problems with audio if two people are talking at the same time. Makes it really hard to hear what's going on. You kind of miss out on everything. I think the technology of the Hangout is superior, in my opinion, to Skype. I just hope Google or / YouTube brings something else out that does exactly the same thing that has less exploits. And for those who don't know, if you publicly place a link on a live chat for people to join the stream, you can get a lot of spam bots and all that kind of stuff. So it's an old technology. I guess it's becoming redundant, even though it's extremely functional if used correctly. So hopefully Google / YouTube come out with something that's just as good, that's superior to Skype, that does pretty much what the Hangout does, only with increased security and maybe increased functionality. That would be ideal. If not, I'm going to have to work out how to use Skype in a similar situation. And I don't know, I think that's kind of going to hinder the quality of the live streams, in my opinion. The simplicity of being able to fire up a Google Hangout and put it on YouTube is awesome. It's a real shame they're getting rid of it. I wish they could just maybe tweak it a little more and make it less exploited. So we'll see how we go. With that in mind, I plan on doing one more at least before it ends. I wanted to do one last weekend, but I just had too much other stuff on. Plus, I needed a bit of downtime as well. I've been pumping out the videos, and I really just needed some time to unwind. So yeah, a few other commitments as well has made it hard for me to fire up a live stream without having to rush around and do everything else. So I'll no doubt post up a scheduled live stream at some point pretty soon. So stay tuned for that. If you want to be a part of it, just email me at intheblues@outlook.com. Only 10 places per video, unfortunately. So if you try to get on and there's 10 people in there, it's going to be hard. So you can join prior to the actual Hangout start time as well. A few minutes early will guarantee you a place if you want to have a chat. It's always good to have all the good folks that jump on regularly, Steve and everyone else. So if you want to be on the last one until the new technology comes out, if it comes out, then stay tuned to my channel. I'll definitely schedule up a video for the following, maybe next weekend. I'll see what I can do. Here's a quick follow-up to my 3 essential blues guitars. I put up a video today, actually, as at the time of recording this podcast, where I talked about 3 essential guitars for blues, where I spoke about a 335 style guitar, Strat, and a Telecaster, or those styles of guitars. Now, there's plenty of other great guitars for blues. I actually own a Les Paul. There's a few people that made a comment to say, you know, what about this, what about that? So one comment was awesome. They said, what about an Epiphone Casino? I kind of put Epiphone Casinos in the same category as an ES-335. That's why I kept using the term style of guitar rather than exact guitar, because I feel like any of those semi-hollow body archtop style guitars like ES-335s or Casinos or 339s, they all sort of come into their own category as, you know, a 335 style guitar, even if they're technically not. They're very, very similar. So there's plenty of other great guitars out there, and this was just based on my experience and on my particular sort of tastes in terms of sound. Everyone likes different things. You know, Les Pauls are great blues guitars as well. They're more, in my mind though, they're more of a blues rock guitar. They can sound great for traditional blues in the right hands, of course, any guitar can. And that's the point, any guitar can sound great. But the video purpose was just to show people, if they were thinking about buying a secondary guitar, which ones to maybe keep in mind. And also on the video, I mentioned a lot about different types of brands like Sur, Squire, Fender, you know, you name it. So I wasn't just being specific on any one brand or type. It was just, here's three guitars that sound very different to each other that work great for blues. And I could have picked the five best blues guitars. It wouldn't have mattered. I could have picked the best 10 top blues guitars. But it was more about the style of the guitars than the actual type, if that makes sense. So 335 style guitars, pick any number of those. There's the BB King type, you know, ES guitars. There's a million different brands that make, you know, Eastman kind of guitars as well. There's plenty of different brands out there that come up with 335 style electric guitars. So yeah, it wasn't to be specific on any one brand or type. Just if you're going to play blues, odds are you'll probably either want a Strat or some sort of arch top or some sort of humbucker guitar, whether it be a Les Paul or a 335 or maybe a P90 Les Paul, but that still kind of comes under the flag of Les Paul style guitars as well. Doesn't matter what the pickups are, in my opinion, it's the style of the guitar. So a 335 can be somewhat comparable to a Les Paul in tonally and otherwise, minus the look of it, but I'd put them under the same type of, you know, bracket as well. So I just thought I'd clarify a little bit about that. Just, you know, maybe make mention that particular video was more about just showing you the difference between the tones and probably the three most common type of guitars you'd probably pick if you were playing blues. Thanks for listening. My name's Shane. This has been the In the Blues Tone podcast, live from my car. I'll assess the audio quality when I get back and have a listen to this, and if it's not up to standard, I'll just go back to doing it at home. But I figured this would give me a good chance to kind of fill in some extra time while I'm basically just sitting in the car. Maybe I can adjust the microphone too if need be. I'll have a listen when I get back and hopefully it's all good. But if you do like this podcast, don't forget to share it around. It's available on iTunes or at inthebluespodcast.com. Don't forget, folks, about the Amazon link, the Patreon stuff as well, or just disabling ad blocker in the short term. That would be fantastic. Any support is awesome. I encourage you, if you are an Amazon regular, please go to guitarpedaldemos.com, click the Amazon link that I've got up on the top right of that site, or I'll also post it on my podcast site at inthebluespodcast.com, and just bookmark it and save it to your bookmarks, and then launch that anytime you go to Amazon to buy anything. That'd be hugely appreciated, and it would make a huge difference right now, because like I said, if things don't pick up in the next 2 or 3 months, I have no choice but to close shop doing what I do. It's just, it's literally going to be unsustainable. So thanks again, folks. Appreciate everybody's support and comments and questions that I always get. It's always awesome hearing from everybody. And yeah, stay cool. See ya.